जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
Thank you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text number 5. Rishibir, Bahuda, Gitam, Chandobir, Vividai, Pritak, Brahma Sutra, Padais. Taiva, Hetu Madbir, Vinas Chidai, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam, Chandobir Vividai Pritak, Brahma Sutra Padais Taiva, Hetu Madbir Vinas Chidai. Rishibir Bahuda Gitam, Chandobir Vividai Pritak, Brahma Sutra Padais Chaiva, Hetu Madbir Vinas Chitai, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam. Chandobir Vividai Pritak, Brahma Sutra Padais Chaiva, Hetu Madbir Vinas Chitai.
Somebody can
go.
Translation. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the super soul by referring to a scripture, the Vedanta, which is accepted as authority. First, he says, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, is a great sage. And in the Vedanta Sutra, duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasadeva's father, Parashara, is also a great sage. And he writes in his books of religiosity, Aham Tvam Cha Tatanye, we, you, I, and the various other living entities are all transcendental, although in material bodies. Now we are fallen into the ways of the three modes of material nature according to our different karma. As such, some are on higher levels and some are in the lower nature. The higher and lower natures exist due to ignorance and are being manifested in an infinite number of living entities. But the super soul, which is infallible, is uncontaminated by the three qualities of nature and is transcendental. Similarly, in the original Vedas, a distinction between the soul, the super soul, and the body is made, especially in the Katha Upanishad. There are many great sages who have explained this, And Parashara is considered principal among them. The word Chandobi refers to the various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of the Yajurveda, describes nature, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated before, Kshetra is the field of activities, and there are two kinds of Kshetrajna, the individual living entity and the supreme living entity. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmapucham Pratishta, there is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy known as Anamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is a materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then, in Pranamaya, after realizing the Supreme Absolute Truth in food, one can realize the Absolute Truth in the living symptoms or life forms. In Jnanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, and willing. Then there is Brahman realization called Vijnanamaya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage is Anandamaya, realization of the all-blissful nature. Thus, there are five stages of Brahman realization, which are called Brahmapucham. Out of these, the first three, Anamaya, Pranamaya, and Jnanamaya, involve the fields of activities of the living entities. Transcendental to all these fields of activities is the Supreme Lord, who is called Anandamaya. The Vedanta Sutra also describes the Supreme by saying, Anandamaya Vyasat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature full of joy. To enjoy his transcendental bliss, he expands into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, and Anamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and different from him is the Anandamaya. That means that if the living entity decides to enjoy in dovetailing himself with the Anandamaya, then he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field, the living entity as the subordinate knower, and the nature of the field of activities. One has to search for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. It is mentioned here that the codes of the Brahma Sutra are very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras or aphorisms are na viyad ashrute, natma shrute, and paratu tach shrute. The first aphorism indicates the field of activities, the second indicates the living entity, and the third indicates the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum among all the manifestations of the living entities. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Satvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakani Tamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कंठा राधा कंठा नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंच कौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधु भयेव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Translation again. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning to cause and effect. So this is the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is replying to Arjuna's question which had been put there at the beginning of the chapter. Arjuna wanted to know about Kshetra. Kshetra means the field of activities. Just like around us, maybe there are many fields. I don't know. Looks a bit dry. But, you know, generally rice fields here in the south. The field is a place where people will go and they'll do their work and plant according to the work they harvest. So the body is a field also, kshetra, field of activities. And then Arjuna wanted to know also about kshetrajna, the knower of the field of activities. So Lord Krishna is replying here because this is something of a controversial point, the knower of the field. We know that in India there are generally two schools of philosophy. There is Dvaita and Advaita, right? Some people say there's only one knower of the field, and others say there are two. Some say there's only Paramatma. But others say there is the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So Lord Krishna is replying to this controversial question by quoting the opinion of sages. That Lord Krishna also does not just simply say, listen, I'm the Supreme Lord, you have to believe what I say. He does not simply assert his authority in this particular case. Although of course in other verses he says Mata Paradharam Nanyat Kinchinasti Dhananjaya, there's no truth superior to me, everything rests on me, just like pearls are strung on a thread. You know, that's a heavy thing to say. You know, only Krishna himself, only Supreme Lord can. Oh, should we have translation going on simultaneously? Did you want to do it sentence by sentence? I don't mind. Yeah, please. We did it this morning. I gave class this morning in Tirupati and I gave one boy was translating, so certainly, you know, I'm accustomed to have translation going on. I preach in many countries where English is not the mother tongue. So, please, don't mind. Are you able to catch up? I'll give you some time. I was on the safari this year, and when we went to Orissa, and we visited Jagannath Puri with about 80 devotees. Numbers varied. Some came and went. In Jagannath Puri, we put on nice program. Every evening for 3 nights, we celebrated International Friendship Festival. And the Russian devotees were performing dramas and doing Indian dance. And some of the local artists were also performing. We were then invited to Bhubaneswar, and the Minister for Culture and Tourism also came, as well as the Mayor of Bhubaneswar and the Deputy Mayor. Many officials, they all came to attend.
There's only one people.
Only
He's
one?
There's only two on the back.
I'll just sit in the back and I'll just
Then and Tirupati had two mics, and the one, you know, I spoke, and then he would translate. Might have been better, easier. Anyway, are you following? Okay. So in Orissa, of course, also they were translating to Oriya, and very nice to see how the temples are developing so well. ISKCON doing very preaching is really big now in India. You know, I remember I came here to Madras 30 years ago more. I stayed when I came to Madras at that time. We didn't even have a temple here. I stayed in the Madhvacharya, that, you know, the Dharma Prakash. I didn't stay in the hotel. I stayed in the Dharamshala where they have the magazine.
Dharma Prakash.
Dharma Prakash. Yeah, Dharma. I stayed in Dharma Prakash, right. Where the, you know, we stayed there, where they print that magazine about Madhva. Yeah. So, nice to see now. Krishna consciousness is coming up more. We were staying, we were three devotees. I came, Mahavishnu Swami, who is preaching in Africa now, and he and I, and one other devotee, we came here in Madras, 1977. And we stayed in Dharma Prakash. We were going out, distributing, preaching. Every night we were having kirtan in a room there in the Dharma Prakash. So now we can see Krishna consciousness blossoming in India. Yeah, the economy is coming up, unfortunately. So nice temples are also coming up gradually. In Bhubaneswar, I saw in Bhubaneswar, when I had gone to Bhubaneswar in 1976, when we got the land donated, where our temple was, there was a national highway, and hardly there was a car coming on that road. Now, I cannot cross the road. Could not cross the road. I could not believe it. You know, wow, big change. And temple also, very beautiful. Very nice temple. Many people coming. And we went and came through Vishakhapatnam. Vishakhapatnam also, devotees are working hard there. They've built a guest house, 30 rooms guest house, and they're planning to build a temple. So they're doing nice preaching. They have a lot of youth coming forward. Tirupati, very big crowds. Every morning, Mangal Aarti, a lot of people. Many, many people. Bhagavatam class this morning, you know, maybe like 300 people, 400 people. So they're really, you know, doing that. And all local people, regular, not transits, you know, not tourists or pilgrims, regulars. So preaching going on very nicely, very inspiring. I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very pleased to see Krishna consciousness developing so well. There's a need, there's a great need for Krishna consciousness. Because when we look at the traditional temples, You know, I was visiting some of the different temples in Bhubaneswar and Jagannath Puri and seeing the condition. It's not very inspiring, really. I noticed one temple, the one who was a priest. He was a priest there, he was doing the puja. And so, okay, we offered something, and then we went and we were taking prasadam there. We had arranged to get prasad there. After we took the prasadam, I came out of the temple, and I saw that same man who was a priest. He was playing cards. You know, sitting playing cards with some other outside the temple, not in the temple, but outside the temple. And that same temple, I had remarked, I said to him, I said, you know, the temple is so dirty, you know, and so filthy, you know, really bad. You know, sometimes our devotees, you know, like Bhakti Purushottam Swami told me, a couple of years ago, they went to Jagannath Puri with the brahmacharis from Mayapur. And Pankajangari and Janani Vasi had all gone there after Gaur Purnima festival. You know, because they've been working very hard up to Gaur Purnima with all the people coming. The brahmacharis are serving the prasadam and doing a lot of service that time. So after Gaur Purnima, Bhakti Purushottam Swami took them all to Jagannath Puri. And when they went to Jagannath Puri, one of the things they did, they cleaned a temple. They cleaned Kasi Mishra's temple. They brought the water, the place was so dirty, you know. They brought buckets of water and they scrubbed it and said it made it very nice. So this is nice seva, you know, devotees. We like to do this, cleaning the temple. You know, we don't wait for Gundicha. Gundicha is one day a year, but every day we should be cleaning the heart. Right? So here in this verse we're hearing about the Kshetrajna. Is there one or is there two? Well, Lord Krishna he's replying that it is understood by great sages and Rishi Bir Bahudagita, many sages, you know, they've all explained this and they explain it according to scriptures. We have to hear from the sages. It is Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse which is taken from Mahabharata. Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibina nasavrishir yasya nitam vibina dharmasya tadvam nihitam gohayam mahajano yena vita sapamta. That dry arguments will never bring us to any real conclusion. Simply to argue about things, that is not very valuable. And if you study the Vedas, the statements of the scriptures, that's also difficult because there's so many different conclusions which can be taken from the scriptures. And then the rishis also, they have their different conclusions. But if you want to know the absolute truth is hidden in the hearts of the pure devotees. And we can understand it by following in their footsteps. Then that is the safest path, to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Here, Lord Krishna, of course, Lord Krishna, he's not just simply a Mahajan, he's the Supreme Lord, Swayam Bhagavan himself. But still, he's pointing us to the scriptures, that we have to see what the scriptures are saying. How the sages explain these things. The absolute truth can be understood in different ways. Prabhupada goes on in the purport to explain the nature of Brahman. He describes that there are different levels of Brahman. There are different understandings of the Brahman. He describes this Brahmapucham. These five different levels, which begin with Annamaya. Annamaya. Understanding the Lord simply through foodstuffs, through grains. Srila Prabhupada just gives an example about the little child. Child is crying. But when you give food, then the child is satisfied. Once he gets some food to eat, than the child is happy. The young child, when they're born, what can they understand? Simply they know hunger. This is the beginning of the lowest consciousness. Simply to want to live, to eat. This from birth, child has this consciousness. They want to eat, they have to eat. And how will they get the attention? They will cry. And once they're given food, then they're quiet. Then they're satisfied. This is Annamaya. This is also Brahman realization. Realizing God simply through foodstuff. A little higher than that is Gyanamaya. Gyanamaya, Lord Prabhupada describes it here. Beyond the living symptoms, concerned more with thinking, feeling, willing. Just a minute, we're missing one. Yeah, pranamaya. We have to have pranamaya. Pranamaya, consciousness, light. We know what is prana, this energy within the body. So, after anamaya comes pranamaya, that one has some consciousness. One is a little more aware of things around him. He can perceive. In the lowest stage, simply thinking of food. Simply food, fill the belly, let me eat. And then a little higher than that, we can perceive the objects around us. Pranamaya. And then after that, the third level is Gyanamaya. Gyanamaya, there's more feeling, more the subtle stages of consciousness is involved. The mind. From the mind there is desire. And the desire is there. Thinking, feeling, willing. These different things. This is all symptoms of the mind. And this is related to Gyanamaya. This 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is beginning Jnana Yoga. Krishna is describing a lot of jnana in this chapter. It's describing about the nature of the soul, this kshetrajna, the knower of the field. But there's not just one kshetrajna, there is two. Beside this individual soul, there is also the supreme soul. Lord Krishna describes that the individual soul, we know about the pains and pleasures within our body, but there's another living entity who can perceive all pains and pleasures, who knows everyone's pain and pleasure. I know my pain and pleasure, and you know yours, but we're not conscious of each other's pains and pleasures. But the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart, and he perceives he's aware of everyone's pain and pleasure. So there's Annamaya, there's Pranamaya, Jnanamaya, and then Vijnanamaya. Vijnanamaya means some realization of that knowledge, realization of the understanding of the consciousness within this body. Something higher than just simply the body and the mind and desires, but realization of the non-material element within this body, this Vijnanamaya. But the full realization comes with Anandamaya. Anandamaya, where one can actually perceive the realization of the Supreme within everyone. So these five different levels are described as Brahma-Pucham, different understandings of the Brahman. Understanding the Absolute Truth is not something which we can simply perceive by our own speculation. We have to hear. In the Brahma Samhita, it is described that even if you travel at the speed of the mind, Muni Pungavanam, that still you will never be able to understand the nature of the Absolute Truth. We want to understand the absolute truth, the nature of the Supreme Lord. He has to reveal himself. He has to reveal the absolute truth to us. So it is not by our own efforts that we can understand the Lord, but he reveals himself just like he does here in these various writings from these great sages. Vyasadeva has written Vedanta Sutra. Why Vedanta Sutra? Because the Vedas are so vast, cover so many things. Therefore this Brahma Sutra, as is described here, Brahma Sutra is the same Vedanta Sutra. It is the essence of the Vedas. Sutras put in the thick form, the condensed form. Just like milk, we get condensed milk, you know, you boil all the water off, it becomes condensed. So the Veda, the Vedic knowledge, the Vedas themselves are so vast, so cover so many things, that within one lifetime we don't have time to go through all the Vedas. So Vyasadeva has written Vedanta Sutra. He summarized that knowledge. And he's put it in the form of sutras. But sutras mean very difficult to understand. Speculate on it. Try to understand what is the meaning. That is the business of the followers of Shankaracharya. They will spend their time speculating on what is the meaning of the Vedanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized that he did not come to study Vedanta with them. When he was in Benares, there were so many Mayavara sannyasis in the line of Shankaracharya, and they were studying Vedanta. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spending his time chanting and dancing. So Mahaprabhu was criticized that he is a sentimentalist at the best. And maybe he is even some kind of magician. Maybe he's got some kind of power and he does some magic and he influences people's mind. We don't know quite what, but he's not like a real sannyasi. Because if he was really the sannyasi, he should be studying Vedanta. They criticized him like this. Of course, when they did meet, when there was a meeting between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of these other Mayavada sannyasis who were under the leadership of Prakasananda Sarasati, then at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that actually he did know the meaning of Vedanta. He was not in any illusion, any ignorance at all.